This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Hey, you know what show I love?
The Rich Eisen Show.
The pitch, the count. There it is, number 60.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Goodbye! Home run to the captain is number 51.
Today's guests, NBC Sports Bay Area 49ers reporter Matt Maiocco. NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Actor and comedian Dan Soder. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on the Disney Plus app, as well as the ESPN app, available everywhere. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, on the air with our program. Thrilled to be here, and always appreciative of this Rich Eisen Show ESPN Radio affiliate saying, yeah, we'll take the show. We don't take it for granted. We also appreciate being on Sirius XM Channel 80 and being with you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I love looking down and seeing the phone lines light before I even utter a syllable on this show. And I utter a lot of syllables. I mean, between now and the end of the program, it's going to be a lot. And we always appreciate you sticking with us. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brocken. What's
hey,
going
Rich,
on?
Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts, wearing a Dodgers hat again, which is an outrage. Okay. It's okay. It's all right. You jumped the ship, and the Yanks might wind up with the best record in the American League anyway. So good on you. Maybe you can close for the Dodgers. Good to see you over there. TJ Jefferson, your candle is lit, man.
You think Mo Green City has an over-under on the number of syllables that you might say in a three-hour show?
I definitely do not believe that they do.
Brockman, let's look into that.
I can't imagine that the Mo Green City, where he doesn't have a plaque or a signpost to commemorate his vision. I don't think they do such a thing. But your candle is lit over there.
Was it chilly on your side of town today?
Let me just express to you. Speaking of lit, let me just express to you what or who is lit. It's baseball and home run hitters. And as you know, we're a football driven country, and certainly this show football driven with my 22 plus years on NFL Network. And then we love talking ball. That's made out of pigskin. But that baseball, man, there's nothing like when baseball starts to hit winner go home time and you start to hit the possibility of records being reached, and then you see balls hit so far when you're hoping in the stands to see them hit so far, and the player comes through, and the player is not only coming through, but he's coming through to clinch your division, and he's coming through to potentially clinch himself a most valuable player award that nobody thought he could clinch. And that guy's name is Cal Raleigh. I do believe last night, if there's any question in any voter's minds, and I'm saying this as a diehard Yankee fan who absolutely adores Aaron Judge and knows just how valuable that man is. Last night, he hit a three-run shot to put the Yankees up and then hit another one, 50-51. Fourth time in a row. And fourth time in his career, he's hit 50 home runs, Aaron Judge. But Cal Raleigh steps to the plate last night and hits home run number 59. He's already well past every mark for catchers in terms of hitting home runs first half of a season. Also, just in general, for a full season, passes most home runs by a switch hitter, passing Mickey Mantle, passes Ken Griffey Jr. for the most home runs hit in the history of this franchise, where the folks in the Pacific Northwest are nuts for their Seattle Mariners. He steps to the plate last night, hits his 59th home run, and then has an opportunity to hit 60. Now, already on the night, on the East Coast, Judge hits 51 home runs, 50-51. Kyle Schwarber, the human fire hydrant who just cranks them out, is trying to trace down Ryan Howard's franchise record in Philadelphia. He has a chance as he hits two himself last night. Think about it. Guys, Judge hits two, Schwarber hits two, Raleigh hits one to go 59.
Mm-hmm.
And can he hit 60? I am getting goosebumps just telling this story. Recounting for you what we were all watching last night, if we're fortunate enough to see it. Cal Raleigh steps to the plate with an opportunity to hit 60 in front of all the fans who are there, excited for the Mariners to clinch their division, win the American League West that the Astros have been leading for quite some time. And could he possibly hit 60? These are the moments that you go to a ballpark to see. Could he possibly cap it all off to hit 60 while the entire crowd is chanting MVP? The answer is yes.
40,000 chanting MVP. Fly ball to right field! Number 60! A catcher has hit 60 home runs! Your MVP moment, Cal Raleigh!
I mean...
Man, just
Aaron Goldsmith with the call.
Goosebumps.
I mean, it's, but not as much, as many or much goosebumps as you're about to get, because this popped on my Threads feed. A fan sitting there in Seattle last night, recording the moment. Because you never, like, you know how many fans you take out the phone,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's just like, okay, you're recording a strikeout or a ground out. Or you're recording, you know, a 3-2 count, right? But the fan is recording Cal Raleigh stepping into the batter's box, and they're chanting MVP for him, and he goes yard. So we decided to just take the, as they say in the business, nat sound, natural sound. Just listen to the fans with no call on it and just think about it, because my favorite sports moments are when you are hoping for it. You're hoping for it. You're expecting it, maybe, but deep down, you know it can't be that good for you. It can't. This superstar player coming out of nowhere. I mean, it's not like Cal Raleigh never hit home runs, but 60? 60 home runs. Like, most valuable player, Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners. I'm wondering where he was prior to the season in terms. Was he even on the board?
Oh,
he had to be,
man,
part of the field, right?
Let me look.
If you can find out, like, preseason MVP candidates, I don't even know if he had odds. And this guy steps to the plate. Can he really hit 60 in front of us? And the answer is yes. And I just wanted to capture the moment. Just listen to the delirium.
That guy in the back. Oh my God!
Yeah, guy and the girl.
What do you say? I'm just glad there was no cursing.
Yeah.
T-Mobile Park just lit by this guy, and then, you know, the Big Dumper, as he's known.
Yeah,
Big Dumper.
Great name.
Channels Major League in front of the entire crowd when he is being interviewed afterwards, and what he is saying is being pumped into T-Mobile Park. Just listen to this exchange.
I think last night, what I kept hearing from everybody on this team was, we got more work to do, and it seems like this team was just even more focused tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think most people heard what I said last night, you know, might as well win the whole thing.
Oh, that's amazing, Major League.
And everyone in T-Mobile acts like Pedro Serrano, like, yeah. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. They got the pitching. They got this guy. They believe. And there's now conversations like, well, I mean, do you play him the last four games because you clinched the division? Yeah, you play him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. He needs three home runs. He needs three home runs to break Aaron Judge's single season mark for an American League player. I don't know. You're just read it.
That's why you shouldn't read that.
There's even questions about, you know, do you play Schwarber to try and get Ryan Howard's team record? The answer is yes.
Like, Schwarber can get to 60.
I mean, let's go, right? Like, let's go. This is This is why you play baseball. This is why you go to games. This is why. And they could, the Mariners can catch the Yankees or the Blue Jays atop the American League for best record. Everybody's got to go to the Pacific Northwest if you have a right, your thoughts of playing in the World Series. Because this is crazy, man. Listen, I know Guardians fans might be out there saying, how come you didn't spend maybe 10 minutes to start your program about us? An incredible story. It's like a slow motion car crash for the Detroit Tigers, who could potentially fall completely, forget about out of the division lead, out of the playoffs. The Astros are the only, are one game behind them. The Tigers have gone from leading the Central to being in the third place wild card position. And fascinatingly enough, the Tigers might have played themselves into going back to Cleveland, where they've just had a night. Their nightmare just is, they got to wake up from this nightmare. And the Guardians are like, stay asleep, because the calls are coming from within the house. Just the Guardians can win the World Series. They're playing the best baseball of anybody in the last few weeks. The Yankees have been playing, you know, teams that are at the bottom of the American League right now and feasting on that, while the Red Sox go up to Toronto and the Blue Jays are falling apart. Mm. Vlad got ejected last night. Two of the players, including Vlad, got ejected last night. Alejandro Kirk ends the game on a base hit to right, and he's thrown out a 9-3 putout. So the Blue Jays are getting walked off, if you will, by a 9-3 putout. And they got to be sitting there saying, what the hell's happening to us? They had this American League East wrapped. They crushed the Yankees in head-to-head this year, which is why they're still atop the East and having the same exact record as New York, because the Yankees couldn't beat the Blue Jays this year. But if the Yankees beat the White Sox tonight and the Red Sox sweep the Blue Jays, the Yankees would be in first place in the entire league, and the Mariners are just a game behind them. And their last series are home against the Dodgers, who just got out of Dodge in Arizona last night, despite having another lead blown in the bullpen. And all the Dodgers are doing is like, how many starters could come out of the pen for them? Because they're not touched. I don't think they could touch Ohtani now. It's all Ohtani. Ohtani had 5 no-hit innings and 6 shutout innings with 8 strikeouts. I mean, he's just as lit as he possibly can be out of the starter's role. That's why they chose Sasaki. They gave him an inning last night. He looked great throwing 100. He touched 100. Didn't Kershaw pitch an inning last night?
Yeah, Kershaw out of the pen last night.
Yep. So it's just like, let's use them all. Can Oral come out of the booth? I mean, because I don't think I think you want to speak of Los Angeles privileges being revoked like Pulp Fiction. I believe Tanner Scott is soon to have his privileges. I don't think Dodger fans would see him anymore. So I don't know what baseball is just out of its skull the last week of the regular season, which has been its massive issue over the last few years, is it doesn't have the feeling of an end of an NFL season where playoff lives are on the line. Every game matters. This time around, it kind of does. And I know it just went higher register. It is a higher register Thursday. Just incredible.
Yeah. MVP odds, Rich. Can't find any preseason on Cal Raleigh. Julio Rodriguez was about 20-1.
That makes sense.
Preseason. And then in June, Cal Raleigh was 35-1, which roughly odds is about a 3% chance to win MVP.
Don't you think it's like 100% chance now?
He's flipped it now. He's -200 to win.
Okay, I mean, it's
you know,
as much again. You know,
you never know.
You know where I'm coming from. I watch more Aaron Judge at bats than anyone in this room.
He's incredible.
And you know, very few people have had given me the joy with my 14-year-old son as he does when he homers, and how we just exult in it together. And the MVP is Cal Raleigh. He's unbelievable. He might, you know, he might, the way that he's doing it, his 59th one, I do believe, landed in Lumen Field, which is where the Seahawks play, right next door. But, you know,
I wish the NL race was a little bit closer on the odds. Ohtani's -50,000, which means bet $50,000 to win $100.
No.
Schwarber, I think, deserves to be, this should be much, much closer. Without Ohtani, the Dodgers are still probably winning the NL West.
Yeah.
Without Schwarber, the Phillies have no chance at anything. They're not leading the division. They're not World Series favorites. They are, I mean, they're not as close as they are without Kyle Schwarber. He should be closer. This NL race should be closer, in my opinion.
So,
and Soto's been unbelievable this year.
It's interesting that
he's 80-1.
The Ohtani odds are, it's exactly what the Dodgers pay him. They defer $50,000 to pay him $100,000.
Pretty much.
Well, that's baseball, man.
Yeah, Rich, when you said about watching other games, that was last night. You know, you're watching the Mets, we're losing, but you're also keeping an eye on what the Pirates are doing with the Reds. And then
they beat them.
We're watching the Dodgers game. So it's
they
like,
held on.
I can't remember the last time I'm like, all right, we're losing, but like, okay, you know, you're scoreboard it's watching like you all want. These other games right now. It was great.
It was the witching hour.
It really was.
Yeah, it truly was.
Two home runs by Judge, two home runs by Schwarber, and then Raleigh has the last say. And I got two to get to 60 and clinch the division.
So cool.
Oh, man, cannot make it up. Love it.
I agree with you, though, Chris. Once Soto's season, for some reason,
is just getting swept aside.
Under the rug, and it makes no... It's historical.
Look at Soto's numbers, and he's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been great, which makes it even more amazing that the Yankees could wind up with the top record in the American League in a Mets town.
Yeah, see, but you're trying to take away from it, right?
In a Mets town.
Take away from the greatness of Soto's season.
And I do hope that the Mets make the playoffs because it is a Mets town in New York.
Look, we're
Soto
so proclaimed. It's amazing you're still hung up on that.
Yeah.
You crapped on him for the whole first half of the season.
Didn't do a thing other than talk about his statistics. That's all. And him saying it's a Mets town. It's a Mets town, and if it's a Mets town, I do hope your team can get more breaks by the Pirates and the Dodgers beating their opponents to keep you guys from falling out when you lose.
I'm just hoping it happens.
So you hopefully you can carry the banner.
I think you're the last person on earth who's still hanging on that. And again, don't live in New York. Why
honestly, Aaron Judge should save some of these home runs for the playoffs.
Okay, fine. Say all you will, because I understand what he's done in the postseason. Yeah. But again, the Yankees lose somebody of Soto's significance and have a shot after everything at the end of the day, still having the best record in the American League. They currently are tied for such right now in a Mets town to compete just in the shadows of, you know, the Mets being above 500.
30 for 30
and holding on for dear life.
Season.
You know,
what if I told you?
Unbelievable. I'm rooting for the Red Sox and you're rooting for the Dodgers. Cats and dogs are hanging together.
Living together.
Living together.
Can't pandemonium.
Isn't that amazing? That's what's happening.
But what are the Mets, according to the Cubs? We're the White Sox of New York.
Yes.
You know?
We're Zool.
Yes. And hopefully at the end of the day for us Yankee fans in terms of the Mets, to just paraphrase another phrase from that movie, yes, that man has no playoffs. Can't wait for that.
That's a giant Twinkie.
Let's take a break here.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of trying to bust a ghost, I don't know what's going on in San Francisco with the Niners and all their injuries. It's caused us to call up Dr. Matt Maiocco, paging Dr. Maiocco. What is happening with the 49ers? Daniel Jeremiah still coming. Dan Soder in studio, hour three.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
We're back on a simulcam. This is not an Arby's.
We have the beef.
844-204 Rich, number to dial. Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Paging Dr. Matt Maiocco, who covers the San Francisco 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area. Good to see you, Matt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Rich. How you doing?
Man? Just listening to us argue about
that. No, stop it.
What's going on?
No, let's get back to the matter at hand of the San Francisco 49ers. Is there a seance happening in Santa Clara? Did anybody want to get together and maybe clean the house like Poltergeist? You know, what do we got here, Matt? What do you think?
I don't know what to tell you, Rich, because that is like the topic and has been the topic for years, it seems like. You know, 49ers, if they aren't the most injured team in football, being so close to it, and the fan base certainly believes they are, and it's hard to argue. You know, I know there are injuries throughout the league. Football is a violent sport, and that injuries are part of it. It just seems like the 49ers, year in, year out, by and large, have more than their fair share of injuries. And why that is, I don't know. I don't know that anybody really knows. It's not like they're all the same types of injuries. You know, some of them are freaks. Some of them are just, you know, soft tissue injuries. You know, you got broken bones, you have torn ACLs. It's just, you know, non-contact ACLs, contact ACLs. You're right. I mean, it kind of seems like they're cursed, but here they are, three games in with a 3-0 record.
Yeah, I know. If you took an MRI of the standings, it would come back clean.
It would.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then they'd probably go for a second opinion and it would go something else.
The second opinion of the longtime listeners, first time callers, right? So let's jump into the, I guess, the positives and those who might be returning. Is Brock Purdy one of them for this weekend against Jacksonville, do you think, Matt?
I think so. Yeah, he practiced more on Wednesday than he did the previous week. It's been trending in a positive direction. No setbacks after that, I guess, mild turf toe. Certainly not a Joe Burrow level of turf toe that he sustained in week one. So he is able to get out there for some limited work last week. I don't think there was really much of a chance that he would play against Arizona, but things seem to be looking more positive this week. He practiced on Wednesday, and then today when they get out there in about 4 hours or so, probably have a little bit better idea, you know, how he's feeling after that. But if I were a betting man, I would think I would go with Brock Purdy getting his first start since week one this coming Sunday against Jacksonville.
And then what about Kittle? Where is he on the return? I know he's on the IR, which meant four games was definitely going to be it. Is it more than that? What are you hearing about him?
Yeah, so he would miss the Thursday night game a week from today against the Rams. That is off the table. And then I think once that happens, once he gets through that, then it becomes a week-to-week thing. So the following game would be 10 days later against Tampa Bay. So I think that's on the table, but that's going to be up in the air a little bit. And then, you know, Brandon Ayuk, he's still on IR. He's eligible to come off of IR after this game Sunday, but he certainly won't come back on an early week and probably looking a little bit more down the line. I'm sure they'll want to see him on the practice field for a week or two before they make that decision of when to bring him off of IR. So, you know, theoretically speaking, you know, once they get to around the mid-season mark, other than Nick Bosa, you know, the hope for the 49ers is that they get guys back and that offense will have to start carrying more of the load without one of their top defensive players out there.
Yeah, before we get to the Bosa and how to replace him. So you're basically saying this crucial stretch of short week visit to the Rams and then at Tampa, which, you know, potentially, you know, who knows, could be a battle of unbeatens. There's a lot of miles to go before we get to that one as a possibility. Those two back-to-back games might be Kittle-less and definitely Ayuk-less for the Niners, is what you're saying.
Kittle, and I would say I'd be very surprised if Kittle or Ayuk. Well, Kittle can't, but I don't think Ayuk won't be out there for that Thursday game against the Rams. You know, when you look at that schedule right there and you see those back-to-back games, Rams and Tampa Bay, those are difficult games, obviously, even if the 49ers were full, even if they were the 49ers you would expect them to be, you know, in the offseason. You know, this is their full team. So I think that puts so much more pressure and emphasis on this game against Jacksonville because, you know, 49ers are playing that last place schedule. And so there's not a whole lot of daunting games on that schedule. But other than, you know, playing at the Rams, who I'm sure now are the favorites to win the NFC West, and then at Tampa Bay, I mean, those are two of the more difficult games on the schedule on paper. So it really puts an added emphasis on taking care of business in the games that they need to win. And this game coming up week four against Jacksonville at Levi Stadium is a game that they can't let get away from them.
Matt Maiocco here on the Rich Eisen Show covering the San Francisco 49ers, NBC Sports Bay Area. What is the plan to replace the massive defensive player of the year shoes of Nick Bosa? Matt?
Bullpen by committee. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they have any other choice. You know, they have nine defensive linemen suited up on game days. You know, nobody's going to do what Nick Bosa does, but it's going to take a lot of different guys stepping up. You know, Mykal Williams, a rookie, 11 pick overall. Boy, he's played really well, but he's not like that pass rusher that Nick Bosa is. He's a really good run defender as a base defensive end, and then he slides inside and rushes the passer, but he's not going to pile up the big sack numbers of Bosa. And then you have Bryce Huff. 49ers went out and got him in a trade from the Eagles. That's looking now like a big deal because he's basically their top pass rusher right now on the team, and I don't even know who the number two guy would be. So, you know, they're turning to guys like Bryce Huff and Sam Okawanu, Yitor Gross-Matos, Mykal Williams. They're going to have to mix and match. And hey, this is why they gave Robert Saleh the big bucks. You know, he's going to have to be more creative with the coverages on the back end, dialing up blitzes. You know, maybe you see Fred Warner do some more stuff, or D Winners, or Upton Staff coming off the out of the slot, blitzing at the nickelback position. So, you know, there's no guy that they can just slide in there and say, okay, now you're Nick Bosa, go get the quarterback, and they just move on. It's going to take a lot of different guys stepping up their games.
I think you're breaking news, Matt. Fred Warner can do more?
Do you believe that? Yeah.
More stuff from Fred Warner. What does that look like? Like magic? Like what? Singing? I mean, doing a halftime act? Like, honestly. Really?
Yeah, and what I'm saying there is maybe they put even a little bit more on his plate.
Sure.
As far as getting after the quarterback,
I got
you know, maybe getting a handful of sacks this season. Yeah, I mean, why not? Right? He does everything else. Why not add that to his repertoire?
5 weeks from now is the trade deadline, so clearly this is way too early. But you know, screw it. I'm already hearing from Niner fans. I think Chris, who's not even one, was mentioning the other day. Let's just say the Bengals fall apart. Trey Hendrickson might be, you know, available. Maybe, you know, Cam Jordan for the Saints. If he wants to say, hey, I want to go potentially ring chase before the end of my career. Is that something salary cap or draft capital wise the Niners can stomach, endeavor? What do you think, Matt?
I think they can do it, but it'll be difficult because I would suspect that once any team or teams, especially in the NFC, get a whiff of the 49ers' interest in Trey Hendrickson, then you know they're going to come strong too. And that asking price or what it would take as far as the compensation would only rise. So I don't think it's too feasible, but hey, you know, back in 2023, the 49ers kind of came out of nowhere to acquire Chase Young at the trade deadline. And that was something that was seen as, you know, a big deal at the time. And, you know, Chase Young helped the 49ers, no doubt about it. A little bit up and down, but he had a really good Super Bowl. And, you know, could they do something again? They could. I don't know how feasible it is. I don't know how realistic it is, but John Lynch has always been very aggressive as far as going after guys. My guess, it would be probably somebody a little bit more under the radar, somebody who just wouldn't step in and be, you know, the guy, but somebody who could just kind of lift the floor of what they expect from their edge rushers. That would be my thought.
So, you know, obviously we hear what fans are saying and what fans keep, you know, saying over and over again, especially Matt Maiocco. And all we've heard since Robert Saleh left the 49ers to take the Jets head coaching job, all we heard from Niners fans was just like, man, if we only could get Saleh back. And that's been the problem with our defense. Do you think the first 3 weeks of the season have given full credence, box check, on the fan sentiment on that regard, Matt?
And then some. Yeah, I mean, just think about the task that he had, you know, coming back to the 49ers and incorporating all of the young guys. Because when he took that job, he knew, I mean, they were up front with him. They knew that they were going to be parting ways with a lot of the veteran players. And, you know, they in essence, waived or released three of their starting defensive linemen to open the 2024 season, Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, and Leonard Floyd. And then they knew that there was a good chance that Dre Greenlaw wouldn't be back, Charvarius Ward, Talanoa Hufanga. There are six guys right there who were key players on the 49ers defense, or at least envisioned to be key players on the 49ers defense in 2024. So they knew with a lot of draft picks, they were going to bring in a lot of fresh faces, and it was up to Robert Saleh and his staff to get those guys ready to play. And then the 2025 draft rolls around, and they were true to their words. Five defensive players with their first five picks in that draft. And then you add another guy a little bit later, Marquis Siegel, who earned a starting job at safety from week one. So the 49ers have so many young guys on that defense, and it's up to Saleh to get those guys up to speed, learn what they can and can't do, and fit the pieces together, while all the while probably having to be a lot more creative than he was during his first time with the 49ers, because they don't have that dominant pass rush, four guys across the defensive front who they just go get the quarterback and we'll play cover three on the back end. They're doing a lot more things defensively. Robert Saleh is definitely earning his keep.
And then lastly, you know, the narrative in the national media, and you've heard it, I'm sure from your seat, is the place you want to be is the quarterback room of the San Francisco 49ers if you want to resurrect your career or get some momentum and learn there. I mean, obviously Sam Darnold is the latest example, or is the most recent example, until maybe Mac Jones going 2-0 to keep the Niners 3-0 without Kittle, without Ayuk, and everything going on around him. You have a front row seat here. What does Shanahan do? Like, what's the secret sauce, do you think, Matt?
You need to be a smart guy to play that position. All the answers are in the play call. So, you know, there is a lot put on the plate of a quarterback, but, you know, you don't see the quarterback going to the line of scrimmage and changing the play. And you don't see, you know, too much chaos right before the snap. You know, based on the defense and the play call, all the answers are right there. And so it takes a guy who can process quickly. The main skill, I think, in a lot of ways is just from the shoulders up. And there was a reason that Kyle Shanahan liked Mac Jones leading up to the 2021 NFL draft. And they ended up going with Trey Lance and, you know, for injuries and a bunch of other reasons that didn't work out. So it was interesting that when he had the chance to get him, that's the guy that they went after. And now we saw in weeks 2 and 3 with those performances against New Orleans and Arizona, what it was that Shanahan saw in Mac Jones. I think it's a really good fit. You know, Mac Jones doesn't have the physical talent of a Sam Darnold, but he shows that in this offense, he can be a pretty darn good quarterback and put up some good numbers and lead this team to victories.
And then I guess just Purdy comes back, holds on to the ball, defense balls out. It's a winnable game against Jacksonville at home, right? Yeah. I mean, could be 4-0 going into Thursday night in 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with this offense, it's always been prolific. You know, they've always been, it seems like, a top five offense in the league. They're not that right now, but I think for this team to get to where they want to go, that offense does have to come around. And obviously the offense will be a lot better when Kittle's out there and when Ayuk, if he's healthy, is out there. DeMarcus Robinson is back after serving a suspension. And then once Purdy gets rolling and the run game gets going, the 49ers have always run the ball well. They haven't run the ball all that well through three games. So when McCaffrey gets going, and you know the thing in the locker room the guys are always talking about now the last week is that it's almost there. The running game is almost there. They're ready to pop one. So I think the 49ers are going to need the full Kyle Shanahan 49ers offensive experience in order to compensate for the loss of Bosa and just keep this thing going to the point where they can make a run for the NFC West title and for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we talked all about the injuries and the fact that we're not even talking about McCaffrey, and he's the one that put a scare in the whole world prior to week one, just like last year, out of the blue. Wait a minute, you're limited with something going on with your legs? Like, wait a minute. And, I mean, he's been the all – again, I know the running game hasn't been up to their standards, but in terms of yards from scrimmage, it looks like McCaffrey, man, you know?
Yeah, the yards from scrimmage, touches. I mean, right. They certainly didn't say, hey, let's dial this thing back.
Right.
I mean, you know, Brian Robinson, who they acquired from the Commanders right before the start of the regular season, you know, maybe when he gets a little bit more ingrained in the offense, he'll get some touches, but also maybe don't hold your breath. I mean, it is so difficult for the 49ers to take Christian McCaffrey off the field. And here he is through three games. I mean, he has more yards receiving than he does rushing. And so, you know, he's just the ultimate chess piece and a guy that can be used in a number of different ways. And the 49ers definitely do use him in a number of different ways.
Matt, thanks for the time. As always, always appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge and making us smarter. Appreciate it.
All right, Rich. Always my pleasure. Thank you
That's
so much.
Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just real fast, would you mind putting the 49ers schedule back up here? Because as you just heard from Matt, Purdy expected to return this weekend. If not, then in 5 days up the road, right? Mm-hmm. Kittle is definitely missing 5 days up the road, Rams, this weekend, and then that. He might be back for Tampa. Then Ayuk returns, I guess you're pegging maybe middle of the season, right? If not, sooner than that. And then that's when you take a look at their schedule and things kind of ease up. Now, you got to be careful about saying ease up. Perfect example, prior to the season 3 weeks ago, you're looking at week 16, a Monday nighter at Indianapolis. You're going, oh, check that box, man. Mm-hmm. All right. Uncheck it now. But you are looking at, say, Houston 3 weeks ago. You're like, at Houston, that could be a tough one. And yet, right now, Houston's 0-3. At the Giants, how will the Giants look with Jackson Dart? Could he be suddenly a new shiny toy that the Giants use and win with? Or he's a rookie that is susceptible to playing like one. Don't know. Then you're home for the Rams, week 10. How are you looking now? Ayuk's back. Everybody's back feeling good. You know, home for Carolina on a Monday night. Which Carolina's shown up? The one in the first 2 weeks, everyone's wondering if Bryce Young has regressed, or the one last week that just shut out Atlanta, who you're seeing in a month on a Sunday night. Home for Tennessee at Cleveland. I mean, you look at the schedule, it's last place. Will some of these last place teams be better than that when you see them, or is this going to be something that the Niners get back healthy and start just racking up wins? Because right now, smoke and mirrors. You look through the smoke, you look in the mirror, and what's coming back is a 3-0 team. I mean, this could be big. Or shrug emoji. Don't know. Unreal. Unreal. But Mac Jones did his job.
He did.
Yeah. He did his job, and so did Shanahan. I don't know if this is a higher register. Kyle Shanahan for Coach of the Year? Setting it up? They keep doing it.
And I didn't once say that, you know, Mac Jones should be the starter the rest of the year.
Stop it. This guy over there.
I didn't say that.
I know that.
Thank you.
But you did just say it, kind of saying it, without saying it.
Not really.
Nice trick. Nice smoke, nice mirrors. We take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take phone calls shortly. Daniel Jeremiah is going to join this program coming up in hour number two. We'll talk Chargers, and he's a perfect guy. He saw the Jackson Dart stuff going into the draft, and he sees the Chargers every single week. And so who to bring to you is Jackson Dart's about to get his first career start against the Chargers, and Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us. Jaden Daniels spoke yesterday. It's up to the doctor, folks. He's feeling good. It's up to the doctor about whether he plays in Atlanta this week.
Can you give us an assessment of where you are right now as far as come Sunday?
It's up to the doctor. It's not my decision.
I mean, where do you think you're at?
And I feel good.
Jane, how much running and cutting have you been able to do so far?
Enough to feel good if I play on Sunday. Like I said, it's not my decision.
And then have you had to play with a brace before?
No.
What's that feel like, just wearing it even in practice?
Something to get used to.
Would you have to wear one if you do play on Sunday?
The doctors haven't said that decision yet. So that'll be a conversation.
Not saying much. Just one line answers, finishing questions with just a string of words.
Looks like he's probably playing this week.
No,
right?
It looks like he wants to, and he knows it's not his decision. Let's put it this way. If there's any chance of him aggravating it, he should sit. Let Mariota take on the Atlanta Falcons. Worst comes to worst, you're 2-2. Then you go to work. That said, the doctors will make the right decision. And that said, I am hoping one of the doctors drafted Ashton Jeanty first, then Nico Collins, because Matt Berry said he's going to have a great season. Then after that, drafts Jaden Daniels, and then decides to grab Terry McLaurin to hook up with Jaden Daniels.
Of course, yeah, the stack. Yeah.
Because if I was that doctor, uh-huh, I would green light Jaden Daniels. If I was that doctor.
You'd be 0-3.
Like that doctor.
And you'd be getting a malpractice suit.
I don't know. I don't really need to share my fantasy predicaments publicly.
I meant just that person.
These are all hypotheticals.
Yeah.
Hypotheticals.
Just throwing it out there.
Yep.
To everyone.
Doctor, and.
I don't know. Take an MRI of that. What do you think of that?
Paging Dr. Vinny Boombots.
Vinny Boombots.
No, and he's never played with a brace either. Bless him for never playing with a brace. So you're going to put him out there with a brace in Atlanta. Really? Is that what we're doing? And then just look at last year, how Jordan Love didn't seem to overcome whatever happened to him and his knee from Brazil.
Jaden Daniels had a rib thing in the middle of the last season, which was obvious.
And he was able to get through it, right?
But he didn't look great while he was playing through it.
Doesn't look like McLaurin's going to go either. When you're getting second opinions on your quad injury from a core muscle individual, that means what are you thinking? It's from up in the core that's affecting your quad rather than it just being the quad. And if you can't figure that thing out, yeah. Oh my word. But hey, one reason why you better make sure Jaden Daniels is all copacetic isn't just you're at Atlanta. You're at the Chargers the following week before a Monday nighter against Chicago at home, at Dallas, then another Monday nighter at Kansas City, then home for Seattle, which is a Sunday night game, and that is a big game in conference, certainly with the way Seattle's playing, home for Detroit, and then you're in Madrid against Miami. So that's the gauntlet that's coming up before your bye. They're not going to get the benefit of a 1 week off and you're back and you're feeling good, which I do believe did happen for Jaden Daniels last year. No, I'm sorry. That was the Bears who had the bye before that game. And then it was bye-bye after the Hail Mary. Hour two coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.